You are listening to She's Reinvented, the podcast for women over 40 who believe it's never too late to pursue their dreams and to reinvent themselves. I'm your host, Heidi Sawyer, and I believe that we are all on a journey of growth and self-discovery that is never ending. And when you're doing it right, you're having fun with it too. Are we evolved? Never. Are we evolving? Always. Let's get started.
To the show.
Thank you for having me.
So before we dive in, I'd love for you to share with our listeners a little bit about you.
All right. So my name is Doreen Morin Van Dam. I live in beautiful Vermont, the Green Mountain State. I was born and raised in the Netherlands, immigrated when I was 18, came to the U.S. as an au pair, and met an American who became my husband. We've been married 35 years and have 4 children. And I'm a business owner, started my business at the ripe old age of 40. And I love running and hiking, traveling. And now that I have 4 adult children, it's fun to just really go and visit them. So I just came back from a weekend visit to South Carolina. 2 of them live there and 2 of them live with us in Vermont. And it's just really fun to travel and see. So now I go to Europe to visit my family, South Carolina to visit my family, and it's fun.
Yeah, you're a world traveler.
Yeah.
So I'd love for you just to take us to that moment in your life where, you know, we're talking about reinvention and that moment where you decided, I'm ready for something different. I want something in my life to be different than it is today.
Okay. So that moment for me in the reinvention moment, it kind of came in a couple of steps, but one of the big things that happened, and I could see it kind of looking at it when I dropped my 4th child in kindergarten, I had been a stay-at-home mom for 15 years. And prior to that, I had been a nanny for almost 10. So I'd been with kids. That was my career. And then my next career choice was to be a stay-at-home mom. So I dropped my youngest at kindergarten and most of the moms were crying and they were walking. They were very sad. And I think I skipped out of there. Kind of think Mary Poppins skipping out of the school. Like, what am I going to do with my life? And that was my first hint of, you know, quote unquote freedom. I still had 4 kids to raise. I still had dogs at home. I still had to cook and clean and do all those things. But to me, 7 hours on my own during the day, I hadn't had that in 25 years. So it was really kind of the time to think about what I wanted. And initially, I thought I wanted to go back to school. I had a high school diploma, but I had not gone to college. I was thinking about going to school and what would I want to do? And then looking at what I could potentially earn, right? Going back to school, thinking about either becoming a nurse or a teacher, what was my earning potential once I had that done? Even if you include, you know, the student loans, and then what it would be like to work for somebody else, but needing to have flexible hours because 12 months a year, I would have 12 weeks a year, I would have the kids home in the summer. And then really start thinking about, you know, what it would be like to own my own business. And this was, you know, quite a long time before people started working from home. But my husband had been working from home since 98. So when our second son was born, he had been working from home. And so people always ask me, what does he do? Like, it's so weird to work from home. You have your own business. But I knew it was possible.
Yeah.
So that's when I kind of looked around and that was a moment that I thought, well, that I can do. I can combine working from home, setting my own hours. And this is 2011. This was way before a lot of other people were doing it. And that was kind of a moment of, I'm just going to do it, right? I just had that mindset.
Yeah. And so how did you decide then from that point, what you were going to do for your business? So you're just thought, okay, I want to be a business owner and work on my own terms. But what did that look like in kind of uncovering what you were excited about?
Sure. So that was really the time that social media was coming up, right? People having cell phones, and then Facebook was coming and Twitter. And my husband had gone to business school And he had told me that the marketing landscape had really changed because of social media. And so he suggested I take a social media manager course, which I did. And I got really excited. I made a Twitter account and, like made some of the a Pinterest account, a LinkedIn account. And so I started kind of learning and then, learning from him about what a consultant does, right? But I really wanted to be a teacher. So I kind of went out in the community. I basically slapped a title on myself, social media manager for hire on LinkedIn, and then started networking. And very quickly within the community that I lived in Myrtle Beach, somebody came to me and said, "Hey, we're a nonprofit. We're looking to make money for this golf tournament. We need social media because what we're doing is not helping, knocking on doors." And so we made a barter. They gave me the title of social media director, and I helped them set up their socials and use socials to solicit sponsorships and donations. And in the 3 years I ended up working with them, part-time, I was able to completely build my own portfolio of clients, as well as help them go from a small tournament that was earning 5,000 a year with a golf tournament to almost 100,000 per golf tournament. And the differentiator was social media.
Yeah, I love that you got resourceful and then having that opportunity, but then realizing that having a position and a title would help give you some leverage to be able to get other clients.
Well, the biggest thing that I have, always run into, and this is, part of English is my second language, but it's these words, yeah, credibility and credentials. And, it took me a while to figure out the difference because I thought they were interchangeable, but I didn't have either when I started. I didn't have credentials. I hadn't gone to college, and I didn't have credibility because I'd not worked in social media. So I gained the credibility initially by taking the online course. Then I gained it by working with a nonprofit, and then I gained it by then starting to serve my own clients. So built up that online and offline reputation for myself and was able to do that. And I tell you, not a single client has asked me where I've gone to school. So it really, in social media, it really didn't matter. But that was a imposter syndrome thing for my own that I thought I needed that. But I had had so much experience in the community because here I was 40 starting a business, but I had been an elder at my church where I was leading committees and a vacation Bible school where I was the lead with 125 children coming in, leading the volunteers and all the teachers. I had been the president of the local moms club. And, there were just a lot of opportunities in the community where I had stepped up in a leadership role. And when you start a business, you are the leader of that business, of course. And so, I had that confidence. I had that experience that helped me start my business, but I really knew nothing about being a business, which also allowed me to do it the way I wanted to because I didn't have any set expectations. I was definitely not going to break the mold because I didn't know what the mold looked like. So that was really helpful.
Yeah, you weren't living by anybody else's rules or expectations around what your business should look like. I love that. I was recently just helping a client prepare for a job interview, and the job that she was applying for, she didn't have a lot of the specific experience that they were talking about in the job description. And she was getting really hung up on that, like, well, I don't really know how to explain how I would have this experience. But it reminds me of what you're saying about I've always been in leadership. I've always been a person who stepped up because what I said to her is, let's stop focusing on trying to convince them of what you can do and show them who you are. And I think that's what you're talking about, is like recognizing that intrinsically you already had all of the qualifications that you needed to be someone who could be successful at it. It's just recognizing that you've been doing it all along. It's part of who you are. You just hadn't applied it in that specific way.
That's correct. And I remember I probably was 3 weeks in my business and I had met up with some local business owners. And they asked me questions about Twitter and Facebook groups. And I said, "Oh, I'll teach you. I'll teach everybody how to do social media." And so I rented a room at a local college and I literally walked out the door with my laptop and my husband's looking at me going, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm going to teach him how to do social media. He goes, how do you know? I said, well, I just learned. It's all fresh in my mind. I can go ahead and I've been teaching my whole life, teaching children. And, so I wasn't afraid to do that. And I think that really helped me with the networking. I certainly gained clients from that and being known in the community. I started a networking group in the community. And I think because I didn't know what I was supposed to do, I just did the things that felt right. So that really helped me kickstart my business.
Did you have any flops early on where you felt like you were unsure if it was going to work? Because I think a lot of people experience those types of things in the beginning, and it can cause you to quit for some people.
So for me, I was really lucky. I think because that was not a necessity for me to start a business and it wasn't about the money, it was about the time. So for the first couple of years, it was almost like a hobby. I mean, I made some money, but I certainly didn't make a whole lot of money. And not until I started 1 year, I added it up. I'm going, I think I pulled in 30K. Like, oh, well, this is actually a real business, right? But that was maybe 3 years in. And so I didn't have the pressure of having to feed my children. And I think that allowed me to grow at my pace. Remember, I hadn't gone to college. So I was learning, I was literally getting a business degree, learning how to negotiate contracts, how to, write proposals. I learned all of that stuff by going on the internet and talking to people. I started a mastermind with a couple of other young female social media managers. I knew enough to know that I didn't know everything and that I needed to ask questions. And I've never been afraid to ask questions. That is definitely a personality trait. If you're an entrepreneur, you should question everything. But I knew enough to know what I didn't know and to ask questions. But I was really lucky in that regard that I wasn't feeding my family with the money I was making, and that allowed me to grow at my own pace and to not, let me say this in a way that makes sense. I didn't have to give up or give up my ethics or to do things that were shady, which I definitely saw other people do. That it was more than just hustling. It was deals that I would never have made or moves in their business that I cringed when I saw them or I would hear them speak a certain way just to get the business. And I didn't have to do that. I was very lucky early on that I could really stand my ground on what I wanted my business to look like and who I wanted to be as a business owner. But again, I understand that that was a privilege on my end.
Yeah. What do you think is one of the biggest lessons that you've learned about yourself in the process of all these years having your business?
That I was so much more capable than I thought I was. And that seems silly. I mean, I was very capable in the role that I had. I grew up in a very conservative Christian household where my mom would tell us the best job in the world is being a mom. And I 100% believed her. I never questioned that. And I'm not saying that isn't the best job in the world, but I was never said you can do that and something else. And so for me, the biggest lesson I've learned is that I can do more than that. I can be somebody else besides somebody's mom or somebody's wife. And I really love learning. And I, especially in the last few years, I've embraced my age. I've embraced the learning. I've embraced that there's a lot of life left that I can do new things. I think for a while there, I was like, oh, I can be a social media manager. And then I really started thinking about what else can I learn and what else can I do to make more money. That's when that came around. And then when COVID hit, there was a huge opportunity for a freelance social media strategist to plug into where holes had been left by people who cut a marketing budget and let people go, but they still needed marketing. And that's when my business really took off. And I was able to break six figures and get to that stage of wow, and that's when I started taking the business structure and organizational structure really seriously. So I hired a VA. And so there's always, I think the biggest lesson is there's always room to grow and room to learn. The other thing that I've learned is it's really unhealthy to look at what other people are doing at some point. I always, when I do a social media strategy, I have to look at competitors and see what they're doing, right? Because I'm helping a business get started on social media and with our marketing. But as a business owner, it is not healthy for me to look at what other people are doing because they don't have the life that I live. I am first and foremost wife, mother. I still have two kids at home that need me. I have dogs. I have a garden. I love to run. I love life. And if I let the business consume and take over who I am, that's not who I want to be. And I do see a lot of entrepreneurs do that and hustle. And I keep making that same choice. It's been a lot of years now. I'm not going to do that this year. I am not going to grow or scale or do this piece that it would be the next step. I just don't want to. And
Yeah.
I that's looking at other people. I go, oh, they're making a lot more money. But then I'm thinking, are they happy? You know,
Yeah.
I don't think I would be happy if I made those moves, if I made those decisions. So that I think is something that is very attractive in a way, and it's easy to get carried away. But every year I sit down and say, what are my goals? You know, what do I want to accomplish and how do I want to feel? If there's a day I want to stop work at 3 o'clock, I need to have the freedom to do that, or, you know, go out for a run at, you know, any time of day. And I need to keep doing those things that make me happy because being an entrepreneur does not define me.
Yeah, 100%. I love so much of what you just said because I think that it is the more money, the more, you know, recognition, whatever it is for a person, everybody has different things that's driving them. But in a lot of cases it is money, right? Because we're sold this big vision from, you know, our culture that says more is better and bigger is better when it comes to homes and you know, have to have nicer vehicles and toys and all the latest things. And at the end of the day, when you really look at what you value in your life, and if that's time with your family and taking care of your own health, and something that I'm constantly talking about and working towards myself, which is stress management, is like the most important thing we can do for our health, is working on having a balanced nervous system and managing stress in a positive way. When we look at those things as the what's most important on the scale of priorities, then we have to say no to some of that. We have to be able to say, yeah, I could do XYZ and have quote unquote more, but there's going to be a cost to that. And so being able to prioritize the things that are really important, it's easy to get lost in the allure of the next shiny thing and to lose sight of the whole reason why you started doing what you're doing in the first place. And when it comes to people doing things that are, like you said, I think you said shady, you know, that's sacrificing the service that they're providing to their clients and things like that. It's like, why are we in the business in the first place? But to provide really good service that adds value in the world and to enhance our life and the things that we value. And if we're doing anything for any other reason than that, then we really have to take a look in the mirror and ask ourselves why we're motivated by that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I also, you know, want to add to that that I love the clients that I have. I love the work that I do. I don't resent going to work. I don't resent having to sit at my desk and create content or create a strategy or you know, have these client meetings. I make sure I surround myself and do the things that I want, and I've learned to say no to the projects that I know aren't good. Again, I now provide half of our income, which is great, to our family. But it still allows me to say no to certain things. I have the support from my family where, you know, I see the red flags. I'm like, that's not a client I want, or that's not the kind of, service I want to provide, because it will take me away from my, you know, my family and the things that I really want to do. I think all of us got a little wake up call during the COVID era, right? Where we all realize how fun it is to ride a bike and go hiking in the woods with our families. Yeah. But I think it's 2024 and a lot of us have kind of left that behind us and are back in the rat race. You know, companies are asking us to come back and I'm still living like that. I was living before like that and I am, you know, still living like that. And if you're listening to this, that's what I would say, you know, remind yourself, as bad as it was and to be isolated, there were some really great things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, reconnecting with your family and doing, you know, Zoom calls with your family and going on hikes and walks and, you know, go back to prioritizing those things if you feel something is off, because that's what I'm still doing. And I think it's really important to keep that as one of your goals.
Yeah. And sometimes it takes some accountability too, to do that. I know for myself and my husband, we have two businesses and, you know, we've told ourselves during the month of July, we're really making a conscious effort to not take on a lot of extra projects and clients and things because we want to spend time with our kids. They're 10 and 11. This is like the, you know, the prime time for summer fun in the sun. And so we're holding each other accountable when he gets an opportunity and he's like, you know, my husband gets an opportunity. And he says, hey, you know, here's the thing that I was approached with. And like, does that align with our plan for the summer? You know,
right.
If it doesn't, then we're going to have to say no to that. And I think that's hard because when we say yes to so many things, sometimes it's coming from a place of scarcity. Mm-hmm. There's going to be more at the right time, the right things at the right time. And so there's a level of faith in just trusting that and being able to make those decisions that are most aligned for ourselves.
Yeah. I've also found that if you say to people, yes, but I'd like to move it back 4 weeks, it works yeah. too. You know, you can, instead of saying no, that doesn't align with what right. I want to do in July. I have found that oftentimes, especially when you talk to a potential client or an opportunity or something, unless it's an event that's at a specific date,
yeah.
where you say, yes, I would like, yes, however, this is a timeline I can work on. And often people are willing to wait and say, okay, you know, we'll start August 1st kind of thing. So, I've learned that as a business owner too, to step into that space of that boundary. This is my boundary. And, this is what I'm willing to do. And I would love to work with you if that works for you within this boundary. And so I hear you. I'm going to stop my podcast for 6 weeks. I've just decided after 3 years, I've never done that, but I'm going to stop it for 6 weeks this summer and work on some other projects that I need to work on. And yeah, you just need to take that time.
Yeah. Boundaries can be hard for, especially for women. It can be hard sometimes. We're used to, in many cases, a lot of, you know, little tiny humans and people demanding things from us and really wanting to make everybody happy and fulfill all of that. But we've got to be able to fill our own cup first too. Something that I wanted to ask you about that you mentioned was that you were embracing your age. I think that
yes.
was your words. Tell me more about that.
Yeah. So, you know, people, I didn't really have an understanding of what I would feel like. You know, I don't think for many years I thought beyond having children and then beyond age 40. And starting a business at age 40 is one thing that at age 45, our teenage daughter challenged me to become vegan. And I took that to the next level. 9 years later, I am the only vegan left in the family. But I felt physically about 10 years younger, about 6 weeks in. So I was like, if I can do this for a long time, I feel better. So I'm a runner. I'm a very different runner that I, you know, was 20. I started running 20 years ago and I got injured this spring. So now I'm healing, I'm sitting here with a healed broken leg, but I'm still not running. But I'm embracing the things that go along with being a woman over 50. I really don't care what people think about me anymore. I really don't care if they don't like the boundaries I put up. I'm putting them up because the boundaries aren't for you. They're for me. Those, yeah. And that's, if you've not heard this, it took me forever to realize. I thought those boundaries were for them. I'm going, here's my boundary. No, they're going to come at you over and over and over. The boundaries are for me to uphold. They're mine. So that has really helped me. The other thing I did is I'm in a, a mastermind with four women that are in their 50s. We're all business owners. We're not all on social media. But that's really helped me. There's a place to grow and to learn from each other and to support each other. Because even though we know women are supposed to help other women and to support each other, oftentimes we are confused and we have been told by others, oh, don't do that because they're going to steal your idea. And, you know, men have been doing masterminds for thousands of years, right? They sat in the Roman baths together and talked about what they were going to do. And women have been told forever and ever not to do that. And so having that mastermind with other women over 50, working on our business, growing, you know, being clearer with boundaries, being more communicative with my spouse, with my children about what I need. Because, you know, remember, until I started my business, I did everything. I was a stay-at-home mom. Yeah. And then my business was sort of a hobby. But now that it's not, I've had to say, look, I'm going to go away for 5 days. And when I come back, I don't want to have work to catch up on with you, with like homework. Like, I need to come home and the house needs to be done. Like, I don't need 5 days worth of laundry when I come home. Yeah. And so those things have really, you know, the more specific I get, I'm really good with that. And then just feeling good in my body, you know, how I dress and what I do, I hope to have another 35, 40 good years, you know? So it's not the end of the road. It's the beginning of really knowing who I am and having that confidence. It took me a long time to get here, I think, of how I was raised. And that's fine. But I'm really excited about the future. So that's, you know, and that I think means embracing everything, including, you know, the ailments that come with it and the, you know, being more tired and all of that. Travel, you know, I used to travel alone with four kids to Europe, Heidi.
Yeah.
three different flights from Myrtle Beach to Amsterdam. Was on the road for 24 hours with four kids. I just took a flight to South Carolina from Vermont. I had a 7-hour delay. I got there at 4 a.m. and I just kept saying, I'm by myself. How hard is this? This is not hard. You know, it's in your mind, your attitude. And it wasn't that hard because I was all by myself. I didn't have to care for anybody. I could read a book and then sleep on the plane. So it's all perspective on, you know, what the experiences you draw upon. And when you're older, I think I have a lot more patience and, yeah, I can just, I don't know. I just feel really good in my skin right now. There've been years that I wasn't. So, yeah, I think that's a good way to say it and embrace my age. And I'm not afraid to say how old I am anymore either, which is, you know, for a while there, I think society was telling us to not say to people, you know, you're a business owner, you're on social media, you shouldn't tell people you're 54. I'm like, yeah, I can.
Yeah. What's this like keeping women from masterminding this because we would take over the world, right? Yeah. Come on.
You know? I know. I just had a friend explain to me the bicycle thing. Have you ever heard this thing? So I was in with my mastermind. We actually presented a talk about mastermind to a women's conference. And one of my mastermind friends said, well, you know, the bicycle helped the women's suffrage movement. I'm like, what? She goes, well, until the bicycle was invented, women could either walk to their closest neighbor or they were dependent on their spouses or their family members to drive them places because women weren't supposed to drive the horse and the cart. Mm-hmm. So the bicycle came along and all of a sudden they had the freedom to ride to a neighbor's that was further so women could gather and not just for washing, but to make plans, right? And then some man invented bicycle face as an ailment and they wanted to ban women from riding bicycles. It had nothing to do. They were just flushed from riding a bicycle, but they wanted to stop the women. But that's how the women's voting right got started, by women getting on bicycles and being able to gather and come together and mastermind. So it's super interesting.
Wow. And when you exercise, your face does turn pink and red sometimes. So that's a thing.
Yeah, that's a thing. Well, now we know. I mean, we also know the story about the first woman who ran the Boston Marathon, who was almost plucked out and said, you can't run it because, you know, your ovary is going to fall out or something if you run 26 miles. I mean, something crazy. So so the mastermind, if you're a business owner, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're in a career where you feel alone, a mastermind, get at least three other women together. I would say at least four people and meet weekly, bi-weekly, connect with me if you want to know how we do it. Yeah. We don't pay money for it. We don't pay anybody for it. We just do it, but it's huge and it's really beneficial to your emotional well-being, your business, to grow in your career, to not second guess yourself, to get past imposter syndrome, to have somebody to bounce ideas off of. Like I said, men have been doing it for thousands of years. It's time that we do it too.
Yeah. Especially if you work in a male dominated industry, I think it'd be really powerful if you're one of the only women in your workplace to have other women that you can get together with and talk business and talk about what you're doing. So I love that. I'd love to hear a piece of advice that you would give to your younger self.
Don't stop ever being curious. Learn more. I mean, I did kind of natural, but I wish I had like learned more into books. I am a learner by doing. And I didn't understand that's how I learned until much later. So people would hand me a book that was a nonfiction book. And I'm like, I don't like nonfiction books, but I didn't understand it was because that's not how I learn. So I learned social media is perfect for me because you learn by doing. So I wish I had understood that piece, but I've always had the curiosity. I just thought that I wasn't that great at learning initially, but now that I have figured out what kind of learner I am and how I can learn by doing, then the best advice would be just be curious and do the things that you think you can do, because when you think you can, you can.
Yeah. I'm super inspired by you. I just have to say, I'd love to hear what you're reinventing in your life right now in this phase.
All right. So I've embraced video editing and AI. You know, I'm in marketing. AI is there for sure. So that's something that I'm doing. And then some fun things that I'm reinventing is we live in a duplex. We own both sides. So we are actually redoing one side to rent it out. Our long-term renters left. So I am getting my hands dirty with, you know, upcycling furniture for the house. And I've always loved gardening, but I've restarted a garden, not just a vegetable garden, but a flower garden this time. And I want to, you know, so I'm reinventing myself with some of these hobbies. One of my newest hobby in since moving to Vermont is foraging. I love going out on long hikes and foraging for mushroom and ramps and fiddleheads here in Vermont. And so I'm constantly looking for new ways to be out in nature and to learn things. But right now it's the, you know, decorating and, you know, like I said, doing more with less money with, you know, upcycling furniture and then as far as my business, yeah, making sure that I stay up to date with the latest AI tools and, with, you know, video editing, which since video is really, really big.
Yeah. Wow. I'm a gardener also, a newbie gardener. So, we've been eating a lot more vegetables and loving it. And like you mentioning going vegan and feeling so good. I have never felt better than I do now, just implementing just so much more fresh food into my diet. And we know this, right? We all have heard how we're supposed to eat, but it's just really incredible. So I love that we share that gardening hobby too. Let us know where people can find you online if they want to work with you and they want to learn more about what you do.
Sure. Online, my business is More in Media. So it's a play on words of my last name, Morin. So look for Doreen Morin Van Dam. I wear orange glasses with a nod to my Dutch heritage. The Dutch, if you've seen any fancy Olympics, the soccer, anything, they're all dressed in orange. So you'll recognize me by my orange glasses online and offline. So look for Doreen Morin Van Dam or More in Media on Instagram and on Twitter. Now X and all those places.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Same, Heidi. Same.
Thanks so much for listening today, friends. If this episode made a positive impact on you, please share it with a friend. Also, while you're here, leave me a rating and review. I love to read your reviews. It means the absolute world to me that this podcast is making a positive difference. Until next time, keep reinventing, keep evolving, keep stepping further into the truth of who you're here to be. Much love.